I think I may be the only pastor ever to come up here and preach following a penguin, so I'm pretty psyched about that. In 2 weeks, my wife Tracy and I will be married for 26 years. Yep. She deserves a medal. You don't have to clap so hard for that part. But, you know, when we started our journey together, we started dating in 1986. So we had quite the long time to talk about marriage and preparation. And one of the things that we really weren't totally prepared for kind of snuck up on us. So we were gonna get married. We got married in August, and we were gonna do some traveling. We were gonna travel the world. We were gonna see all the big things before we got real serious about life. So we got married mid-August, and she was pregnant by October. So that went down the drain real quick, real quick. But we figured, you know what? We have a we found out it was we didn't find out until it happened, but we found out it was a girl. So what? So what we'll do is we'll just bring the kid along with everything. It'd be like playing house. It's just a kid. It's a small thing, right? You tag it along, you give it, throw some food at it, and you right? You're going to play house. Wrong again. We brought her home, and I remember like 2 weeks after we brought her home, we brought her to this little Italian festival we had up in North Jersey, and I remember she was crying the whole time. We're like, all right, this kind of wasn't what we thought was going to happen here. But one of my Italian aunts said, Nicola, what do you do? I had this band around her head. Tracy put the flower band. And she was crying. She had marks on her head. You get that off of her. We said, maybe we just got to learn this parenting thing. And then it just went on. And it was like 3 years she didn't shut up, crying and crying. And those of you who have kids know the struggle of, you finally get them to go to sleep at night, right? And you put them in the crib, and you tuck them, you do the whole thing, and then you want to talk about praying. When you walk away from that crib, you pray harder than you've ever prayed before, because you don't want to make a creak or a sound or anything that's to wake that kid up. We weren't prepared for what people told us what parenthood would be like. We weren't prepared. We thought we could kind of do it on our own, and we'll figure it out. It's got to be easy. Today, God's word is teaching us something that is of a much different nature, and it's not something that I want to pass over lightly or that we need to take lightly. We need to take it very serious, and it's stuff we don't like to talk about. It's got some words in it that we don't like to talk about. Today, we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare, and spiritual warfare is real. And not only is spiritual warfare real, but let me get this right out of the way, right up front. The devil is real, and the devil is a liar, and he's been at this game a long time. And if that makes you uncomfortable to hear words like spiritual warfare and devil, buckle up, because we're going to be talking about this for the next half hour. You're going to be squirming for quite a bit. But it's true. And not only is he real, but I feel like lately he's been working overtime. In this world, he's working, and he's got one main goal in mind, and that's to do his best. One of his main goals is to do his best to keep you from living a life worthy of the calling that God placed on your life, and anything he can do to distract that. But I got news for you. While it might sound heavy, this whole message today, I got great news, is that you're already one up on him today. You are ready one up on him, because no matter what you went through this week, or no matter what you went through this morning, no matter what you're going through, what you don't understand, or what heartache or hardship you're going through, you got up and you got here and you're sitting in church this morning. Amen. And that's exactly where the devil doesn't want you sitting. Paul's been going over it. We've been in this book of Ephesians, and we're finally coming to the end of it. And he's been giving us these detailed instructions, these very, very laid out detailed instructions about how to live out our Christian life. And even in the past 2 weeks, as far as going into our family and how we should parent, how we should run our family. And then last week, Pastor Dave talked about even our work relationship, how a boss and a worker relationship should look like. And you know what's funny is that I feel like a lot of what we're going to talk about today hinges on all those other chapters, because without talking about the spiritual warfare and protecting yourself, it's going to be hard to accomplish all that other stuff that we've learned. So today, the main point we're going to learn is to stand firm and fully prepared for the battle. Stand firm and fully prepared for the battle. Now, I know that, again, that sounds like a battle. That sounds like it's some kind of big epic movie. But the good thing is that while God's going to present this to us through his word today and show us this battle, he's going to give us the answers. That's why I love the Bible. The first way we're going to learn to battle this spiritual warfare is to stand firm in his power. Stand firm in his power. If you have your Bibles today, you can grab them. If you're on the app, you can go on the app. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be starting out in verse 10. Verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, to stand firm." We can start right off in verse 10 where Paul says, "Finally." Again, he's making an emphasis here that finally, after all we've talked about, here we are coming to the conclusion of this book that he wrote to the Ephesians. Finally, be strong. Be strong in what? In the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Without the Lord fighting with you, you're already behind. You start out from behind. You battle this stuff, you battle a spiritual battle on your own strength, and watch how quick you fall. Verse 11 reminds us to put on the whole armor. The whole armor. You know, think about a football player going out with his suit on. His whole suit, except his helmet. It doesn't work. You're going into battle not prepared. Now, if you're a Giants fan, you know what it looks like. Our quarterback looks like he doesn't play without a helmet sometimes, but that's a whole other story. He says to put on the whole armor. Put it on. That means you have it, but God doesn't put it on for you. You need to take action with what we learned today. You need to put on the whole armor. God will never ask you to do something that he already hasn't equipped you to do. Think about it. God's not going to ask you to do something without the right equipment. He's already equipped us. It's our job to use it. Like a doctor who prescribes the cure for you, a medicine for you, he can only go so far, and then you have to do what? You have to take it. At the end of this verse, he says to stand against. And to stand against is to oppose something. What are we trying to oppose? The schemes. Schemes of the devil. You think the devil was scheming just recently, or you think he's been at this a long time? All you got to do is open up Genesis and don't get too far in, and you're going to see right away that the devil has been planning schemes like this a very long time. But why are we so vulnerable sometimes as Christians? Why do we get attacked so much? Why is there so many openings for these schemes to kind of grab hold of us? Well, there's a couple. First, you could be a new Christian. The devil's trying to get in there and work his schemes to try and shake your faith early on. Maybe you're a Christian afflicted. Maybe you're a Christian going through something right now that you just don't understand, and it just doesn't seem like God is answering your prayer, and you've prayed, and you're afflicted with this thing. And yet, the devil's looking for a spot there. He finds your weakness. Or maybe it's the opposite end of the spectrum, and you're really successful in life, and you're real popular, and you feel like, you know, you don't need much of God anymore. Guess what? He's going to scheme his way in there too. Or maybe you're a Christian whose faith is just kind of idle, and you're not really growing, you're not really doing much. He's going to find his way in and scheme there too. Maybe you've been through a tragedy you just do not understand. Maybe you've been through something that heavy that you just can't get over and kind of come to grips with. The devil's going to poke his head and he's going to try and scheme in there. Verse 12. I love the fact that he uses the word wrestle, because it is, it's a struggle. It's a wrestle. It's a struggle. And he says, we don't struggle just against flesh and blood. What does he mean by we don't struggle against flesh and blood? Well, it boils down to this. People are not your problem. They're not. You know, what we see with people, you know, the people, physical people, they hit all our senses. So we see them, we can feel them, we know they're real. And we think that people are the problems, but people are not the problem. People are only a byproduct of the spiritual warfare that they're going through. In this passage, he says the word against 5 times. I've underlined them for you. That's not very good grammar. But Paul's a very smart man. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to get you to look at this list. He says it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against cosmic powers, against the spiritual forces. And basically what he's doing is he's laying out, these are all the devil's allies. These are all the allies. I mean, we know what allies can do for you. Nations try and gain allies all the time. Why? Because you could accomplish more together. I don't know about you, but I think the devil's been gaining some allies these days, don't you think? It seems like more and more and more and more things just keep, you know, just keep turning away from God and just keep hitting. And the devil is working on gaining these allies. Paul uses the term at the end of this passage, heavenly places. For Paul, that's a buzzword. When he uses heavenly places, he's talking about the spiritual realm. And if you've been with us in this series of Ephesians, he's used this term a bunch of times before. He's mentioned heavenly places. In chapter 1, verse 3, he says, all our blessings are there in heavenly places. In verse 20 of the same chapter, he says, Christ is seated there in heavenly places. In chapter 2, verse 6, he says, guess what? We're there with him in heavenly places. This is a happening place. There's a lot going on. In 3:10 of the same book, he says, the angels are there working as well. Heavenly places. But then wait a minute. In verse 12, he says, the spiritual forces of evil are in the heavenly places as well. You see, if you don't realize that there's a fight going on in the spiritual realm, you'll never be able to fight the fight that's down here right in front of you right now. Verse 13, therefore, again, therefore, there are so many forces against you. He says, take up the whole armor. That means, again, it's an action. You have to physically do it yourself. Take up the whole armor. Paul's telling us not to be more proactive, not reactive. Be proactive, not reactive. Put on the whole armor so you can withstand. Withstand means it's ongoing. It means there's, you know what's funny is, you know how I know it's withstanding in your life and my life? It's still ongoing because you're here. You're breathing. You're alive. This fight happens constantly. And what are we trying to withstand? The evil day. That day when that thing happens to you, when all heck breaks loose in your life, when your faith is shaken to the core, that's when you need to stand firm. And it's easy when you're not under attack. It's easy when life is just seems to be going great and we leave our defenses open. But when that evil day comes, will you, as our passage says, would you have done all? Will you have done all, or will you crumble when that day happens? And will you stand firm? Will you not be moved by the shiftings and the waves of this world? We need to stand firm and be prepared for the battle. Our first thing we need to realize today is to stand firm in his power, not on my power, not on your power, not on the power of other people we know. Not on people with money, not on people who are smarter than us, not at anything else, but his power alone. Amen. The second thing we're going to look at today is we need to stand firm in his provision. His provision, he's laid it out for us. We're going to take a look now at what this armor is. What has he been talking about with this armor? Again, if you have your Bibles, pick them up. We're going to look at the rest of our passage today, which is going to be starting in 14. In 14, he says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Verse 14, right off the bat, he says, stand up. Don't take this lying down. Stand. Get up. Put on this belt of truth. Now, this is what he's describing here is the order in the way a soldier would put on all his uniform. He's going to start with the belt. The belt holds up a lot of things. He's going to start with the belt. They're calling it the belt. He's saying the belt of truth. Why is that? Why is that? Why a belt? Well, think about a belt. What does a belt do when it gets when you put it on? It goes around you. Surround yourself with the truth. The truth is so important because we've already determined the devil's a liar, and he's always trying to get you to do two things. He's always trying to get you to do two things with God's word. He's trying to get you to doubt it or forget it. So you have to have the truth on, that belt of truth wrapped around you. And you know what? You can't sugarcoat the truth. It's a message like today that proves that. You know, I'm so blessed and so happy that I've been able to fostered in an environment here at Bayside where we don't sugarcoat the truth. We preach a book like this, we get to a passage like this, we don't sugarcoat it. We preach it because it's God's word and it's the truth. And you can't sugarcoat it. Think about it. Think about an apple. An apple has great nutritional value. An apple a day keeps, right. Now you take that apple and you wrap it in delicious red hard candy shell. Or maybe you're the caramel apple type. And you got caramel around there. And what'd you just do to that apple? You took away all its nutritional value. You can't sugarcoat it. You can't sugarcoat the word of God. He then moves on to this breastplate, the breastplate of righteousness. So they have their belt of truth on, and then this breastplate on. What is the breastplate doing? It's covering all your vitals, all your vital organs, especially the main one, your heart. You need to have that on. If you leave a vital organ open, that's where you'll be attacked. You need that righteousness. You need to know that, you know, how you're righteous before God now. You've been redeemed. You're protected here. You can't come at me now with falsehoods and with lies. I'm protected by the truth. And you can't come at my heart because I know I've been redeemed. Now we're going to move forward. We're building here. We're building. After that, verse 15, he talks about the shoes and the gospel of peace. You can't walk this, you can't fight this fight in sandals. I know we're a beach town, but you can't fight it in some Tommy Bahama sandals. You need some shoes. You need some good walking shoes because this is for the long haul. This isn't a short-term thing. We're in this for the long haul. You need good shoes. And the gospel of peace, let's get this out of the way because a lot of people have a misconception of what the gospel of peace is and what peace actually looks like. See, we think that peace, that life is, it's peace when there's nothing going wrong in our life. Everything's going well. I don't have any snags. That's the peace. Well, guess what? That's not the gospel of peace. Peace from God shows up when the storms of life are all around you and you can still come in here and sing on Sunday morning. That's the gospel of peace. So we have our belt. We're surrounded by the truth. and we have our breastplate on, and we're and our hearts are protected. We got our walking shoes on. We're in this for the long haul. If it ends tomorrow or if it ends next year, I'm ready to go. I'm in it for the long haul. And then we move on to verse 16. And verse 16 says to take up your shield of faith. Your shield of faith. Let me ask you, is your faith strong enough to get through that day? That evil day that we talked about before? Is your faith strong enough to get you through life's ups and downs? It better be. It better be, because if you notice, he says what this shield of faith is for is not for these big bombs, these big explosions. He's not saying that you know, everything's going to blow up on you. You better have your faith ready. No, what does he say? What does he say the shield is for? To protect from darts? Don't jump ahead of me. I'm going to get to that. For now, just look at the word darts. Darts. Why darts? Yeah, they're tiny, but you know what darts are? Precise. Precise. They're pinpoint accuracy. I was fascinated by this. That's what the enemy does. He looks for that weak spot, and then he, right in there, right where you let him in. Precise. And it may not hurt so much at first because it's small and tiny, but over time, another one. And you have that shield of faith down, all of a sudden your faith isn't so strong, and he keeps getting in there. You know, my wife and I taught a marriage class here at Bayside for a couple of years called Blueprint. And we took a whole night to talk about this, where these little things, we equate it to this, and this is exactly what he's talking about here too. And in marriage, you take these little things, we'll call them offenses, and you take a little, you're offended a little bit, but it's just a little thing. But guess what happens? These little darts, these little things, they add up over time and over time and over time. And what happens in a marriage, what happens in a relationship is your offenses are now stacked. They were small, tiny, precision darts at first. Now they're stacked higher and higher and higher. And in a marriage situation, that takes two people and separates, and they can't even look at each other or talk about it anymore, because what started out as this tiny little pinprick of a dart is now this big over and over and over. And that's what the devil will do. If you let him in and you give him just even a small area to get in, that dart is going to hit, and it's going to hit, and it's going to constantly be there, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So pick up that shield of faith. Protect yourself. We're building. We're building our armor now. We have this belt of truth. You can't come at me with lies. I got the truth. My heart's protected from my breastplate. You can't tell me things that God doesn't say or aren't true about me. My heart's protected. We got our shoes on. We got our walking shoes on for the long haul. We got our shield of faith up. You can't poke at me with the little things. They're not going to affect me. Now we move on to verse 17, and we're building. We put on this helmet of salvation. Now we're protecting right here. Devil loves to get in there. Loves to get right up in here. That will torment you more than anything. Get right up in there. Again, put on that helmet of salvation, because I know what my salvation is. I know, you can tell me whatever you want, but I know what happens at the end of this. You can't take that away from me. I know how this ends. I can't let him. You can't have my brain. You can't get in there. I got this helmet on. And we're almost done. We're almost done building this armor. So we got our truth. I'm surrounded. My heart's protected. My shoes are on for the long haul. I got my shield up with my faith. And now I got the helmet on. Salvation. I know it. It's secure. Devil, you can't come to me constantly and tell me, don't forget about what you did here. Don't forget about what you did there. It doesn't matter. I got it. It's on. We're protected. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword. Now, not once in this passage does Paul tell you to take this sword and wield it around like a crazy person at people. We all know what that looks like, don't we? This is protection. Learn it. Live it. Ingest it. Keep showing up here. Keep showing up to your small group. Whatever it is that makes you drink deep of this word every day, it's a sword. It's protection. And now I got my whole armor on, but look at the verses. You have to take it. You have to take that helmet. You have to take it and put it on. Again, God doesn't drop it from the sky and put it on your lap. Just like Christ's death and resurrection on the cross. It's a free gift, but you got to do what? Take it. Receive it. You have to do it. And that's what this whole suit of armor, is getting towards. You have to do it. But you have to take it. This is why people don't like to talk about this stuff. To others on the outside, it sounds crazy. Spiritual realm, the devil. But it's real. It's funny until the devil penetrates something in your life and tears it apart. All of a sudden, it's not so crazy to talk about this anymore. I'm going to be honest with you, because we're all family and we pretty much like each other, most of you. This was probably one of the worst weeks I've had in years. I've been attacked left, right, up, down. It has been an awful week. I preached last week over at Wellspring, a completely different passage, and had to put this together in a week. And from the minute I opened the Bible, I was hit on all sides. Everything was coming at me. VBS prep, this prep, I got a list from here to the floor. You can ask my wife, you did not want to be around me this week at all. But you know what's funny? I'm like, God, I need to preach this weekend. I don't need to be a living example of it. Thank you, but you know, I know enough people going through stuff. It didn't need to be me too. But this is what I love. Guess what? I had to practice what I preach. And you know what? I'm up here preaching, so guess what? God wins, he loses. It's that easy. The power comes from God. We have this you know, wacky, childish image of the devil. He's this high, he's red, he's fat, he's got a big beer belly, he's got fangs, and you know, and that's our picture of the devil growing up. Folks, we talked about it today. This stuff is real. He creeps in and destroys if you don't protect yourself for the battle. And you know what? Sometimes the powerful people, or whether it's money or power, or you're successful at your job, or whatever it is you do, you're a very smart person, whatever it is you do, you know what? You got to be real careful, because you might be able to think you can do this on your own and you can fight this on your own. And I got this one. But if you feel weak and you feel unqualified, you're in a great spot, because that now is going to force you and I to rely on where the power comes from and not on our own strength. Yes, 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 yes. If we learned anything so far in this book of Ephesians, it's these couple of points. Is that God wants a unified people. He wants a unified people to live together in harmony in a new society. And I tell you this, if that's God's plan for us, if that's what Paul has spelled out for us in this book of Ephesians so far, then you can be sure that the devil is going to do whatever he has to do to destroy that. That's why Paul says, finally, here we are at the end of his letter to the Ephesians. Those tiny little spots, don't let him in anywhere. So my dad is a Vietnam vet, and as I've gotten older, I've gotten very interested I've heard stories from him, and I, you know, knew stories from school, but I'm very, very interested as I get older on the actual, how the war came about and you know, where it started from. And actually, you know, Netflix, of all places, has a really neat series on it. And they basically take it and they break it apart in like 10 different parts. And they start all the way back to the 40s, from where the origins of this stuff happened. And I was really interested in it, and I'm probably about halfway through it, but they break it into, you know, nice little chunks of, you know, and I'm probably in about the mid-60s right now. And I was astonished to see the history of how America, this mighty, powerful organization, we had all the tools, we had the planes, we had the tanks, we had everything. And when it started to turn and go south, you know where it was from? the enemy found, with no money and no resources at all, they found the weak spots and they penetrated. The most odd tactics you could never think of because we left ourselves vulnerable, they penetrated. They got in there, and that's what the devil will do. He will sit, he will wait, and he will hide. He will disguise himself as something that looks doesn't look bad on the surface, but then he gets in there. You leave that weak spot open, he'll penetrate your relationships. He'll penetrate your marriages. He'll penetrate anything going on at work, your relationship with your kids, no matter what it is, your addiction, whatever it is you struggle with. If you leave an opening, he will find a way in every time. You need to protect yourself. Stand firm and be fully prepared for the battle. Stand firm in his power and stand firm in his provision. What provision? I'm going to go through one last time. Man, you're going to hate this demonstration by the time you leave here today. Put on that belt that surrounds you with the truth. Devil, you can't come at me with lies. I got the truth with me. I'm surrounded by the truth. You can't have my heart. I'm covered. I got this breastplate on. I am covered. You can't come at me telling me things about me that God doesn't say about me. You can't come at me with that. I got my shoes on for the long haul. I know I'm in this fight for the long haul. You can't come at me and tell me it's going to be over soon. Then I got my helmet on. I said, stand up, and I put my helmet on. The Bible says, stand. I'm going to stand and put that helmet on. You can't penetrate here. You know what? You can't have here. God tells me something that is so secure about my future that I never have to worry again. I got that helmet on. You can't come at me about my past. You can't come at me about the things I still struggle with. Because I got this helmet on. And now, God, I got your word. And I have my full armor on, and I've got your word. And I'm not going to take this word lightly, and I'm also not going to swing it around like the sword it is. But I'm going to protect myself with it. And when I get a chance, I'm going to speak the truth. And we're not going to candy coat anything. Because God's word is that powerful to change lives. You know, this starts at such an early age, and that's kind of where I want to end today. Would you guys stand as we close in prayer? Tomorrow, as you heard Cheryl say earlier, there'll be 500-plus kids in this building. Oh, God. Sorry. I think I just got sick thinking about it, the germs and the... I need more than a breastplate tomorrow. 500-plus kids will be coming here to learn the very basics all week about protecting themselves against the evil one. They're going to learn about God. The amount of kids, Tiffany told me, that are registered that aren't even associated with a church is staggering. God is going to use this week in a big way. He does every year, but he's going to use it in a big way. Can you imagine with so much going on and so much of God's word being poured into young little kids? You think the teachers and the leaders and the people putting this together aren't going to be attacked? I bet you they've had some of the worst weeks that they had this week and the week before and even today. So, Father, I want to take this time to first pray for us. Lord, thank you for your word. Sometimes it hurts, but, Father, you're a good, good Father. And, Father, we thank you that we can learn on this level because, Lord, these things are real. And Father, but so are you. And you have the final word. You have the last word. And so, Father, we ask you now to switch to all these volunteers and all the people who will be running and working behind the scenes at VBS, Lord, that you have them as well. Have the last word with them. Lord, these kids, these little children that are coming into here are your children, Lord. They're going to learn what it looks like to start to protect themselves. They're going to hear truth. They're going to hear about salvation. So, Lord, we ask for some of the most powerful work that you've ever done in one of these VBSs before, Lord. We ask big, mighty prayers, sun stand still type prayers, Lord, for these kids this week. And, Lord, for our own hearts, May we leave here today knowing what it looks like to protect ourselves against the evil one, the one we know is real, the one that your word says is up in heavenly places fighting that battle right now. Protect us. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, everybody.